Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Private Parters, how you doing? Welcome to our bonus episode. It's a Wednesday. Listen, this is a bit of a different bonus episode because we have a lovely friend of ours, a friend of the podcast, one of Francis's oldest friends, coming on, Fred Ferrier. He's going to be on our bonus episode today. Very exciting. He's got new music. We're going to talk about all those different things. So a different one for you today, but that doesn't matter. Still very enjoyable and you're probably going to laugh. So hopefully you enjoy it. And here we go. Enjoy the bonus episode.
Got a new standing desk, which is a real game changer.
What do you mean you got a standing desk?
Well, I got a standing desk that, like, look, goes down.
I can't tell if this is one of the things for Private Parts that you're now selling a new thing.
No, I don't.
Or
I don't.
Are you just pitching?
Hey guys, do you need one? Because I've got a discount code.
Sorry, Joe Rogan of you.
I got a standing desk because I don't like sitting down in the day because I find it's like bad for your back, bad for your posture. It really hurts my neck because I've got, you know, a sort of historic neck injury.
Historic neck syndrome.
Historic neck.
Well, don't
the
we
old
all?
Stegosaurus. Yeah, exactly.
Wait. Also, Fred is...
You Darwinist, you?
It also is Francis wearing a fleece? I think he's wearing a fleece in Texas.
I got the AC on. It's a bit colder today. It's 17 degrees.
Since you've moved to the States, now it's just all fleeces and like work. I gotta work.
Yeah,
I'm working a lot. Yeah, standing desk, you know.
I'm always working. I just can't stop working.
You know, Americans have this obsession with the word work. Have you noticed that? Like, it's like this, like, how cool you are is how much you work.
I suppose in our circles, work is a dirty word, isn't it? In the UK, right?
Well, in the reality TV
world. Yeah, in the reality TV.
What do you mean it's a dirty word? What do you mean it's a dirty word?
Well, you know, people don't like to
talk dirty to me. Oh, work, baby.
People don't like to work in Chelsea.
I don't think it's a dirty word. I don't think it's a dirty word. A taxi driver once said to me, I was in his cab with him, and he went, do you know what the worst swear word in the world is? And I went, what? He went,
Uber.
Work. No, he went, work. And I went, what? He goes, it's even what? Four letters. Yeah, he said it's four letters long. It's a horrible word, work.
You didn't tip him, did you?
I was like, this is really depressing that you think that it's... Because actually, I feel like if you find the right job, work is quite fun, I would say.
Oh, well, I mean, I think
or
you
not.
Have
I thought
to...
You're gonna, I thought you were about to drop that quote, like, you know, you find that you'll never work a day in your life. I was about to log off the podcast, but no, not doing this. Close that. It's not what I came here for.
I do, yeah.
Is that why you started turning tricks under the bridge, Jamie?
Under the Chelsea Bridge, come on.
$5 a pop.
He's just there.
I honestly, I was thinking about this the other day. This is quite rogue, but if I ever became a gigolo, I don't think
ever.
If I ever became a gigolo, right? Which is for you listeners, it's a male.
Watch this space.
Prostitute. It's a male prostitute. I don't think
this
I'm
is
not...
him testing the waters. By the way, so,
yeah.
I don't know. Just DM me, whatever, like for fun.
No.
Just see how much.
No PAs anymore. They've dried up. So
yeah, I'm not. If I became a male gigolo, I'm not confident enough in my sexual ability to be really like, I couldn't be like, you're gonna have the best time of your life.
I would do couples, but I've got 20 seconds and that's just gonna do you just about. And, you know, I can't for the both of you. And you seem lovely, by the way, Fern. I just, you know,
Fred, I want to...
Fern Cotton?
Yeah, because I know that that was a... So basically, Jamie's going to become a rent man. That's what we're...
Yeah, I'm going to become a rent man. Is that different? Am I not, a rent boy or a rent man?
You're too old for a rent boy, let's face it. You're part over the hill.
Wait, what? When do you become a rent man and you're not a rent boy anymore?
When you start getting fillers and, you know, you start... The receding hairline on a rent boy is just not...
Whoa! I didn't...
Talk about like, it's like a serving suggestion on a pack of cereal. You're like, hang on a sec, you... That's... Because you do
this
like...
This is not what I ordered.
Yeah, you do like season one, Jamie, like, oh, and then they'd open the door and be like...
Wait, season one, Jamie wasn't even a thing, was it? It was season Radley. Two. Oh,
in with the
I actually found my first ever interview the other day. I actually put it on my social media, my first ever interview with Chelsea. But Fred, I one of the funniest stories you told me, and I think we can repeat this. You told me the story of, because my thing is that sleeping with someone is a myth. Unless you're in a relationship, you have to be drunk to sleep with someone. That's what my thing was, because it was be too awkward. And we had a very funny conversation where you said the first time that you...
How does Sophie Habu feel about that?
Babe, one second. I'll be down in a second. Where the fuck's the wine?
Just gotta finish this whiskey.
You know I can't do this if I...
Turn the lights off.
And put on this football helmet, okay?
But Jamie, you said that you can't have sex with the lights on, can you?
No, I can, but I think... I didn't for a while. But I think that also, if you're in a relationship, of course you can have sex if you're sober. But it's mind blown when that happens. So, Fred, you know the fact that, okay, we've been in this pandemic, right? The whole situation. We've asked this a lot of times. Have you dated at all during it? Did you do any of those Zoom dates, anything at all?
Don't say anything like that? To incriminate yourself, because that is actually illegal.
Exactly, breaking the law.
Did you try a Zoom date at any point?
Absolutely not. I've just held on to it and just, you know, I'm ready to go out there now. No, I haven't at all. I couldn't imagine going on a Zoom date. I mean, apart from the fact you can just be like, oh, and the worst thing is, you know what happens on Zoom every single time? I don't know why the person that invented Zoom
the owner
on
of
purpose.
It.
Like whenever you go, all right, bye, and you click leave, and then another leave comes up, and you have to sort of do it twice.
Yeah,
you
it's go, true. Bye. Leave the whole thing or leave.
I don't know. And you're like,
sure like whether you should wait for the other person, because sometimes people wait. And they're like, oh, let's talk after the Zoom call. You're never sure whether you should wait, and then sometimes you just hang on up on people waiting for you. It's...
And you're like, all right, mate. Yeah, good. All right, see ya.
These are group Zoom dates, I assume.
Yeah, exactly. Or the best. Group swinging. Digital swinging. Speaking of digital swinging, Francis, do you still use a lot of chat roulette?
Chat, does it even exist anymore?
Yes.
Francis used to be the king of chat roulette. He was that
well,
was his,
I never
that
said
his
that.
Thing.
Well, you said
I never
crowned
myself that.
No, he's the thing where you just like angle the laptop down and just like, Mom, are you home? All right, just
no. Do you know what? Actually, I did when I was at Edinburgh.
Furiously wanking into the camera.
No, I never did any of that. When I was at Edinburgh, though, I did meet someone on chat roulette who was at Edinburgh, and then we ended up going on a date from chat roulette.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
How?
It was just complete.
Do you
like,
hold at your phone number? What
no,
did you do?
No. It was just complete coincidence. We started talking. Turned out we were both in Edinburgh at Edinburgh University, and then we went on a date.
Was that the one with the swing in it?
I'm not sure that's how you're supposed to use the website, but
no, I think you were so ahead of your time. You know, never mind Tinder, never mind all these other things. Actually, Jamie, have you ever had any sort of very fun Tinder experience? Because you got verified on Tinder, or did you not?
I don't. I never.
You got
I never.
I which never. Is basically, an instant right. That's a super like.
I never used dating apps. I never did it. I tried to once get on, and I swear to God, right. I swear to God, I would say if I did. I tried once to go on Raya, and I wasn't allowed on. They said you're not allowed. You're not allowed
it was
on.
Because
it.
You set the age range to
you
just
were taking
18.
Too many screenshots. Yeah, that and too many screens. 45. Ew. I don't know. It goes that high? Oh, God. No. Wait, there's a problem. It doesn't go younger than... Wait, how do I just stick it on?
That's why he joined, what's it called, Musical.ly.
It's just one big Trojan horse for you, isn't it, Jamie? The TikTok dance. You're going to TikTok dance your way to find your next honey.
Rare wouldn't take me, so.
Yeah. The only time I've ever used a dating app was when I was in Australia. I was shooting a show out there years ago, and I used Bumble. I used Bumble, but apart from that,
So you have used a dating app?
Yeah, I used it.
Yeah. So I lied. Yeah, I definitely have used it. I used it, but I didn't. I've never met up with anyone.
You just said 5 minutes ago that you've never used a dating app.
I swear on my life.
It wasn't even 5 minutes ago.
Lock me up and throw away the key, Your Honor. I don't.
It was like a minute ago that I said that. I lied a minute ago. But it's true. That's the only time I've ever used it.
Out of character for you to.
But I didn't meet up with anyone. Because also, I just imagine. And I'm sure
you're just
there
lying in bed, hungover, just swiping.
No, he didn't meet up. He went on the dating app, but he didn't meet up with anyone.
No, I didn't meet up with anyone, I swear to God.
What's going
to
happen in 2 minutes? That's what I want to know.
But I also, that whole initial thing when you go on a date with someone that you've met online, and I think that it's amazing that people connect on it, but it's when that awkward thing where you go to the restaurant, you go, Olivia, is that, you know.
Hey, I'm the creepy guy from the app.
Is that you? Yeah. Olivia, and they go,
you've got an internet
Fred?
Aura around you.
Yeah. So you didn't meet up with anyone, Francis? What about you? Dating app experience?
I mean, when Tinder first came out, definitely.
Oh, I tweeted at the older, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I know. When Tinder first came out, I tried it out because I was in Ghana at the time, coming back and forth, and I wasn't really in
literally.
I wasn't like, you know, it was kind of more efficient.
It's more efficient.
What are we talking about here? We're talking about a sales app. We're talking about Spock or eBay.
It was more efficient.
Like, I just want to be getting through. I want an app where I can just get the numbers. Okay,
it's a numbers game, right? Volume. What's the throughput rate of it? No, but then when I came back from Africa, the dating app world was so far advanced than what it was when there was just Tinder, and it was kind of like a bit overwhelming. And then it was what's called Hinge. I think when I was single, I went on them, but went on a few dates.
I seem to remember you on a dating app once back in the day.
Francis was crushing it.
I've never used dating apps.
And he was driving around in that sick Citroen,
It's no mistake. When there was a spike in teenage pregnancies in the UK, that's when Francis was in his heyday, you know? All over it.
Teenage pregnancies? I don't think they're even allowed on Tinder.
The only time that I ever met up with someone via social media was when I flew to Miami to meet them. And I went with Spencer. Yeah, that was big.
That's keen.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Wait, who was that?
And guess what social app it was via?
Twitter.
Yeah, it was via Twitter. Via Twitter, I flew to. Do you remember when we were living together, Francis, and I flew to Miami to go?
Yes.
Yeah. And we flew to Miami, and Fred, you'll love this. Spencer and I met up with these people who I'd met. Well, one of the girls I'd met via Twitter. And there were these models out in Miami. And we suddenly realized very quickly that we had to pretend that we were incredibly baller.
Oh, yeah.
And we really weren't. Yeah. We weren't.
Story
at all.
Of my life. Oh, don't worry, I got that. And you're just like,
Can you put this on my tab?
And we went to Hakkasan. We went to Hakkasan.
Oh no.
Also the flights out there cost us like £1,000 each. Like it was like, oh my God, so expensive. And then we arrive out there, we went to dinner in Hakkasan, and they invited like six of their friends.
Oh,
and we couldn't afford anything. We had no money. And so
cot? Come on. No, this isn't
We took them to a Miami Heat game, and my credit card didn't work, so I had to ask the girl that I was dating to buy me one of the foam hands because the credit card didn't work.
Did you play it off as just like being for fun? I always this obsession. I think every guy does that. This obsession with just when you go on dates to try and be way more baller than you actually are. And like as I said, that's one thing. As you get older, you just don't care about it.
Don't care.
And the amount of time you waste when you're younger trying to be someone that you're not to get people, it's just ridiculous. In your case, you know, it's a sort of techie multi-billionaire that flies to Miami and goes and swings the bat at Hakkasan. Yeah, we'll get page 2 and 3. Dad, I need some money. Yeah. Liquidate it all, please.
It's so true. Well, you know, this is actually a good topic. Why do we have this obsession, especially when you're young? And I don't know how, as we get older, maybe it does become easier. But we have this obsession with like fitting in and being a certain type. But actually, what's way more interesting is being yourself. I used to like create lies sometimes to make myself sound more interesting.
It's because we're herd creatures. I was actually, this is a story Francis can like relate to, but I remember the first time I got, like when I was at school, because yeah, Francis and I, you know, we went to the same school. It was a very sort of affluent school. I was so obsessed with the, you know, wanting to be kind of a part of that kind of crowd. And I remember getting, my friend once gave me an Hermes belt. Dude, I wore this thing in the shower. I was so obsessed with it. I thought this thing was that, and I used to literally, I don't care what I was wearing, I would tuck everything into this belt and I would walk around with this H and being like, top of the morning, yeah. As you can see, And then I honestly, and this is when I was probably like 16 or something, I used to walk into Hermes on Bond Street and just be like,
champagne, please.
Yeah, no, I'm just browsing, but obviously you can see I'm one of you, so relax, guys.
You can see I've been here before. Yeah.
Oh, God, isn't it all great? We're all just minted and just like all, you know, we're all Hermes, me, you, him, that rich lady over there. We're all together, all ballers.
How? Like-minded people.
It's so douchebaggy when
it's
we look
so
back
lame.
At it.
It's so lame. It's so lame. But it's obsession with just trying to think it's like, and like for a stupid bit of leather that my, it was actually Lucan, Francis, that gave it to me.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a stupid bit of leather with a buckle on it that then somehow makes you think you're going to be really baller.
Yeah, but also there is this sort of sad thing about people, I guess, trying to look rich when they're actually not. I suppose, and actually most really, really rich people
wear fleeces like you. Right? That's why I wear a fleece. Yeah. Because I'm one of those people to pretend to look like the people that pretend to be ballers.
This is a very expensive fleece.
No, but I think it's deep in that, right, guys? I think that we as younger kids, we try to fit in so many ways, like our hairstyles or the way that we look or the way that we talk or what we're buying or what we're collecting. You know, we try and fit in all the time with our siblings,
cards.
Yeah, our friends, whatever it is. And actually, there's
reality
no
shows.
Need to do, yeah, reality, but there's no need to do that, right?
No.
And who are we following? Because the people who are leading the trend are following other people.
I think it's way, like, I know you always hear people older than you being like, well, I'm glad I didn't grow up in their age. And you're like, yeah, you're just jealous, mate, because you're 40. But as in, like, I think now kids growing up that are in their teens that are sort of have this, you know, that are so sort of embedded
TikTok.
In Instagram, TikTok and stuff, forced to do Dance for Likes.
It really depresses me to look at them.
Francis, remember when we were at school? Imagine if that whole period was like based on how many likes we could get. And
yeah,
it would be savage.
Well, it's also conditioning them to have a dopamine response to that. So they're all like so addicted to it as well. I think there are some people in that generation who are actually going the other way and rejecting all of that. You know, it's like almost become uncool to be on these apps, you know, because I guess they maybe look up to some people like us who aren't on them.
I think in life, it's one of the most important things that you can do. And this is a tough anyone that can do this, I think, just gets so far ahead, is to not let external factors manage like or have any influence on your self-esteem. So like, in other words, not have the affirmation from others.
Or your actions, not just your self-esteem. You shouldn't let other people's opinion influence your actions.
Yeah.
You shouldn't live your life for other people's opinion of you. You should do what you want to do. And then ultimately, then people respect you a hell of a lot more because it's clear that you're not
that reminds me.
Waiting for them to...
So no Hermes belt.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if Francis got up and he had a massive buckle on. Hey.
Yeah, I remember. I was influenced so much growing up. I remember even when I was at my first... I went to this boarding school at the age of 8, and I remember I was like 8 years old. And there was this kid who was in the year above, like much way, he was like in the top year. And I remember him arguing with his friend. He must have been 13 years old, right? And he said to his friend, oh, I'll just go and fuck a hamster. That's what he said. And I, in my head, went, that's cool to say that.
What, the hamster?
Yeah. I was like, that's genius to say that. So anyway, I remember I was like at home and my sister was really annoying me. So I went, oh, I'll go fuck a hamster. And everyone was like, sorry, what? Like, why? They were really... shocked
That's
at
horrible.
My language and the way, yeah, they're horrible. What are you saying? And suddenly I was like a realization, oh, wait, I've said something bad here
because I've copied someone that I thought was cool and this is wrong. So do you see what I mean? I mean, I even copying like someone's like swearing because I thought it was good. So I think we're just totally influenced.
Or you just needed to pick your crowd better. You would have said that in another place. It would have been up and laughs. But, you know, probably at a family dinner.
Go fuck a hamster, eh? Right?
Hey, who's with me? Up top, come on. Dad.
Actually, well, but you know what I mean.
Francis, Jim, and actually, you're thinking about that. I remember when I was probably, I think I was at university at the time, I got this ridiculous, like the loudest possible Gucci jacket you can imagine, which was a monogrammed Gucci jacket, like the most offensive thing you've ever seen.
Why were you getting all of these stuff?
Because, and a friend of mine, Francis knows the story. I remember this is when I was just first going to London. And I was totally like blinded by the lights and just thinking, oh my
look
God,
at Francis
so
laughing
cool. Like,
at
bright lights, big city.
And anyway, so I had this, so my friend was like, dude, that jacket, it's so Aspen. And I was like, yeah, it is Aspen. I've never even been to Aspen. I don't even know what it's like there. But the fact that he was like, he holidayed in Aspen, I thought was so cool. So I literally cleared out my account and bought this jacket. And then I'm just like there in the jacket, like, thinking,
student overdraft.
Right, so how am I going to get to Aspen with my jacket? Going up to the, you know, the airport. Hi, please give me a ticket to Aspen because I've got this jacket and I've got no money left. Like, the stupid shit
we do. I love all the
do.
Places. I love it. Dude. That is so Aspen.
Oh my God, that is so Aspen.
The only reference right? I have to Aspen was from Dumb and Dumber, where he went to Aspen. Like that was like the only like kind of thing that I knew about Aspen.
Oh, Aspen is baller.
Yeah, but is it? Is it?
I don't know.
We've never been.
But again, it's like that. That's what I felt the need to purchase this ridiculous eyesore of a jacket in order to fit in with people I didn't even know. That's just the insanity of humans. But as you get older, you grow out of these things.
You were all about brands back in
all right, mate.
Days,
come on, this isn't a character assassination. Coming from Francis, he...
No, but you I were. Was, I
was. Guilty.
You were.
Locked me
was
up.
He actually?
Yeah. I was, I loved it.
No, yeah. Oh, wait, actually, I think Jamie, you are as well.
Yes, Jamie still is.
No. He's all about those brands.
No, I'm not about those brands. What I like is... I don't particularly like wearing the same clothes as what other people are wearing.
So it's very emperor's new clothes.
You know, all the ones that don't have the brands, I don't like them.
No, so I don't know. What do I...
But that's why you wear ladies' shirts.
Yeah, exactly. I do have a je ne sais quoi towards a certain brands, but I don't go for Gucci.
Which is your favorite brand?
At the moment, I really like a brand called Casablanca.
Okay. Isn't that a whiskey?
Yeah.
No.
It's a very cool... I think it's a very cool brand. Hey, Fred, also, talking of cool things, buddy, and you're on TikTok and things like that, your music, man. Dude, it's fucking ripping.
Thank you.
Here we go.
Thank you.
So boom, boom, boom! That was my favorite.
Oh, you like that?
That was my favorite.
Yeah, so music... I've done music for a long time now. Like, I started out when I was super young. I did music at Oratory, classical, studied it at Bristol. But... then started doing when we first, like season one, I remember, I don't know, because when we first started doing season one, I think neither of us really knew what we were doing. We just kind of went along with the show.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And I was like, yeah, it's going to help me do this and that. And And then I got sidetracked.
Well, we didn't really know what it would be, right? No. I guess it was like speculative.
Not at all.
Francis made a comment that you guys watched the first show and then went afterwards and were like, well, we should probably go outside now because we're famous. And then you went
we should probably go get recognized.
Hey, what are you doing at 5:30? I'm free. Do you want to go get recognized? Yeah. All right, let's go. Oh, I can't. I'm actually getting recognized in Kensington. If you want to come get... It was... Oh, this is a funny story, actually, and this is very true. So, do you remember Amica?
Yeah, the club.
How badass was that
club?
I am Amica. So, when the show first hit... I'll come back to my music later, because I do want to talk about that. But when the show first hit, and it was so bizarre going out into London and everyone being like... It was pretty cool. And then, so we were in Amica and we're in the smoking area and lots of people coming up to us. And then there's one really annoying guy just wouldn't shut up, just comes up to us and goes, oh my God, you guys are so awesome. Like, you're so cool, man. I love you. I love you. Then, no, you don't get it. Like, I love your accent, mate. And you're great as well. And we're like, oh, Louis, that was Sam Thompson.
Yes.
Yes.
No, yeah. It wasn't.
I remember that.
No, it wasn't.
Like, Louise's brother. I'm Louise's brother. You're so funny and you're funny as well. I just want to be like you. It's like, and I was just like, and that was Sam Thompson, who's now, you know, the powerhouse that is Sam Thompson, who is, you know, a very dear friend of all of us. But yeah. He started out like that.
That is so funny.
You wouldn't recognize him back.
Yeah, no.
Oh my God, that is genius. But Fred, wait, hang on. So tell me more about it, because I do want to hear about it, because the music's doing so well. That's your love, right? This is literally, and you also, you quit the show for the world to pursue it and do different things. And then, you know, you're dipping in and out now and certain things and stuff like that.
Yeah. So speaking very openly and honestly about it. So initially I stopped the show because I set up an art dealing business, which kind of, you know, you just, in your 20s, you just fall into things and you try everything. Mm. It didn't really work out. And I remember I got to a point where we were about to sort of take on a bunch of investment. And I just thought, is this what I want to be doing for the rest of my life? No, it's not.
Yeah.
And suddenly at this point, I wasn't able to walk away. So it was a bit of it kind of didn't end so well. I came back. I'd pretty much lost everything at that point because of the art world, you know, we gained quite a bit of success. And then I was like, right, what do I really want to do? Music is the one thing that has always made me very happy. And it has a different type of sort of fulfillment. Like, I think, you know, you chase material things, you know, you chase to perform in kind of different ways, but music is generally something that fills you with a very sort of wholesome energy. So I kind of think that one of the reasons why I was acting out in my 20s was because I was craving that sort of performance that you get in music. So the difference is in performance is that I was looking to perform in stupid ways, like being flashy. Like, you know, when you, like if you're in a club and you order something and you have that nasty kind of like, yeah, I'm ordering this.
You wanted the attention, but
exactly. But it's
but
what that is
shallow
exactly.
reasons.
It's a negative. It's a negative performance. You have people looking at you, but they're thinking you're a twat, and you are. Whereas actually, when you sing to people or you perform, when you go to a concert, you're not going to see your favorite musician thinking you twat. If you are, don't you know?
Some people exactly.
like, but you go to that.
But you're admiring a talent.
You
right?
admire talent. You're it goes back and forth because you're. It's like a sort of what? It's an exchange in life where. You're singing, they're loving it, and well, hopefully, and then you're loving their gratitude, and it just sort of builds up, and it's an amazing experience. And I think since I went back into that, I sort of, you know, found kind of what I was missing, and I was like, this really is what I want to do. It's a ridiculously hard profession. I've been doing it for, you know, I've been singing since I was 7, but I'm, you know, I've just relentlessly pushing at it. I'd say for the last like three and a half years in particular, I have not stopped like working at this every single day. And, you know, similar to how you said, like, without going on a tangent, when you started a YouTube channel, you're like, I'm just going to be the biggest YouTuber ever because I'm doing
that.
Like, and you have these things when you start in music that you kind of think that it's going to be easy, but the amount of rejection that I even have to this day, like, you just have to relentlessly push on. You get all these people saying no to you. You're not going to do this. You did reality TV, therefore you can't do this. Even if you've, you know, I'm a classical trained musician, people still just automatically expect you to be terrible. But it's now, I think, you know, I signed a deal with Spinin Records. It's the biggest dance label in the world. And it's just this thing of every day just pushing, you know, getting lots of rejection.
Endless. It never stops.
It never stops.
Well, every day, you know, leveling up. Yeah. You know, elevating yourself to the next level.
And just constantly. And then also, I mean, not letting, and, you know, hopefully someone that's listening can connect with it. Because I think the biggest thing that stifles everything is fear. You know, you're scared that, oh, you know, it's not good enough. I don't want to put that out. And fear just kind of makes you freeze. And I think in any industry, you know, that any of us are in, I think freezing is the worst thing to do. And freezing normally comes from being scared of what other people think of you. And it's so important just to just not care what people think, just to keep doing it and putting stuff out there, putting yourself out there. And so, Sam, yeah, hopefully reaching a point now where things are starting to lift. But, you know, but ultimately, what is it that we're all, what is it that we're chasing? When do we say enough is enough? It never does. Yeah, so you kind of just have to sort of enjoy. We've had this conversation many times. Like, we're all incredibly fortunate. If the fact that you have 100 people listen to a song, you know, or 1,000 or 10,000 or 1,000,000, it doesn't matter.
And everyone's chasing viral content, but actually viral content is not good, I don't think. It's really interesting. Yeah, I spoke to her. There's a girl called Steph Fit who I actually think's a bit of a dude, man. She's sort of a fitness person on Instagram, and I became friendly with her for different things. And she said, she's got sort of 1.5 million followers on Instagram. And she said that I nearly stopped doing Instagram. I never even started it because I was embarrassed about what people were thinking when I was posting my fitness videos. Mm. And I think a lot of the time with these things, music or podcasting or art or whatever it is, you don't do it because you're so concerned about what others are going to think. And it goes back to our initial thing, which we were talking about, right? Which is why we're trying to fit in. You talk yourselves out of things because you're just like, well, what are my friends going to think of me? They're going to think I'm a loser for doing this or that. And actually, you should not do that. And also, Fred, I think that your prime example, you did things that ultimately made you, well, you know, lost you money, right? But you were making money, you were doing these different things, but you just realized you weren't that happy. And so you resorted back to the thing that you knew made you happy, which is music. Mm. And I think it's safe to say, and I don't think I'm talking for you, you know,
but I will.
I think,
but may
yeah,
I?
But I will. So here we go. You know, you're incredibly successful and you know, you're incredibly talented, but you know, you haven't got at the moment that top 10 hit and all that kind of stuff that people sort of pine after. But you would say to yourself that you're probably the happiest ever because you're doing what you love to do, right?
Massively so. And I also think that actually it's funny. I sent this message to Francis recently. I think that because I had like a big fall from grace when I was like 25, 26, 27, and I was very humbled. I think up to that point, I was so used to things just falling in my lap and, you know, happening to be successful. And just as a result, I kind of thought everything was very easy. And the fact that I did lose everything and I, you know, had to move home and all this other stuff, I think, you know, then gave me, because the other thing I was doing is I remember when I first started trying to book gigs in London, the big gig, music gigs just don't pay anything, like nothing compared to what, you know, for what we get paid, for example, for the day of MIC. So then I was like, well, I'm not going to do that. Because I just, you know, then why would I lower myself? But then the thing is that guess what? The best musicians in the world are the best musicians because they do every single gig possible. So I remember just going
and they're the best performers.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So I did every open mic. I did every like jam night. God, I had some intense jam nights. But you know, but it's doing those things and just performing at all these things, which actually gives you. I mean,
well, it's also
both.
Those times which you know that's the romance of the story.
Yes,
right? You know that when you achieve all the success that you ever wanted to, and I'm sure you will. You'll look back on those moments and those stories with fondness, right? That's it's this sort of struggle, the grind that people actually look back on and wish they could relive.
You learn more from those, definitely.
And also, that's the fun time. That's like I was talking about this with my business partner, with Candy Kittens, right? You know, it's much bigger now. And actually, we were reminiscing of the old days when it was just like so much harder. And the hustling days are the fun days, right? Because then when you're hustling something, you're pining towards something. Then also, when you sort of achieve what you want to achieve, sometimes, I tell you who said this, Matt Damon, right? Actually, of all people, Matt Damon said he is so happy that he won an Oscar for Good Will Hunting when he was 25 years old, because he realized what it actually means. It doesn't actually mean that much. Mm. And otherwise, he would have spent the rest of his career trying to reach this Oscar. And if he had never made it, or if he would have made it, he'd say, thank God I got it at 25, because it made me realize it doesn't actually matter that much. Once you get an Oscar, you got an Oscar, and there you go. Life goes on. People forget about it. You move forward. It's that moment which is great. I saw this thing the other day they were talking about. They say that most people are living a life of they want to achieve pleasure, right? Everyone wants to achieve pleasure in life. But actually, life is about educating yourself. It's about education.
Mm.
And educating yourself in whatever area that may be. But we're searching the wrong
thing. Well, it's about growing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but growth is education, right? It's about experiencing things and stuff like that. And most people are just sort of suggesting that it's about just receiving pleasure.
But that would be you if you were become that rent man eventually. That would be your life.
Yeah. I don't think pleasure and happiness...
I thought this was going to be pleasure.
I don't think pleasure and happiness are the same.
No.
I don't think they're the same at all.
No, but also happiness, like I was saying, you know, it very quickly you become accustomed to the things that you think are going to make you happy. So if you're kind of pursuing a path because you want to... you think you're going to be satisfied when you impress these people... Then when you actually achieve that, you realize, actually, I've been doing all this work for someone else, right? When with you, like, pursuing a music journey, you know, that's really for you. It's not really even about the success. It's about the journey and enjoying the process.
Mm. One of the best things that, the thing that makes me the happiest now is, like, writing a song. And, you know, when you're listening back to the song that you've created, it's just like, I can imagine that's what like having kids is like. It's like, this is something that you've made, and you basically
a baby.
You've actually made this feeling, and like the song that I've got, sort of that I spoke to your team about. It's so important. Like, yeah, it got signed, and it's exciting. But ultimately, it's so important not to get hooked up on the result of that, and just think it's a great song. I like how it's done, and then move on, and then move on to the next one.
Yeah,
like, the fact that I really enjoy it.
You've got to savor it.
Yeah.
But because also I think it's there's a tendency as well, like once you make one song and you start working on another, you kind of look back and think, well, that wasn't, you know, as good as this. Or
yeah, Fred, that's perfect timing, because we're going to play your new song on the podcast right now.
Hey, nice segue.
Oh, yeah. When I'm with you, I think I have a halo. You're not the kind of person that can lay low. I need someone that helps me find a real flow, and I think you're the one. No matter where I am, I wanna be seen. With you on my arm like we are 17. You know that when I say I really do mean that, I think you're the one. Every time I look into your eyes, need nothing more than that to
forget. I'm gonna start new. They tell me how we never even saw through. Think I'm gonna Fred, mate, are you chuffed with it, dude?
Love it. I've heard that song, so especially now since I've been doing the video and we've been
so groovy.
Yeah, like I've heard that
groovy
song.
It's so groovy, man.
Cue dad dancing. Hello, daddy's home and he's brought his moves. Yeah, I'm super happy with it. And it's got so much energy. And yeah, check out the video as well. As I said, been working super hard on that with Cash. And also I want to say something that, and again, I can imagine this is something that you both relate to, is that the importance of when you're doing like a creative career of just building a team around you of people that are on your wavelength. So Cash, for example, you know, he's been working on the edit for 3 days. And that's just because we're friends. We have the same vision. And
is that his real name?
His name is Akash. And then, yeah, but no, his name is Cash on Instagram, K-A-S-H. And yeah, but we both have sort of similar drive and just kind of want to create.
Yeah.
So, exactly. I mean, Jamie, you must have, in terms of with what you've done, you can look back, and same with Francis, that you can look back on your career and think about specific people that you met along the way that just changed.
Totally. Oh, mate, my first agent, yeah. Emily Shanks, 100%. Without a doubt. She 100% pushed me in certain ways and told me what to do and directed me without me realizing in certain areas. She was a sort of godsend in lots of different ways, because I could have gone down any different route and she sort of directed me. And I think it's amazing. No, Fred, honestly, man, listen, you know, I'm just so impressed, firstly, because it takes a lot of, you know, it takes a lot of guts jumping into that industry. It's the hardest industry in the world, right? It really is. And you're doing it. And also, I just want to, you know, I think Francis can echo me. You're one of the greatest guys.
Oh,
and you know, I said to Sophie, my girlfriend,
you're a top lad.
Yeah, I said to Sophie, my girlfriend, when, because you guys were filming in MIC together, and she was a bit worried about going, all this kind of stuff. I said, don't worry, you know, you got Fred there. She said, yeah, but I don't know him so well. So, and I said, trust me, he's the coolest dude. And she came back and she's like, I know exactly what you mean. So you're a rock star, buddy. And where can we go and get your music? Where is a great place to go and get it?
Spotify.
Virgin Records.
Yeah, Spotify.
HMV.
You can buy it at iTunes if you want to be really kind. And then yeah, you can stream it from every sort of major platform, really.
iTunes pays apparently double the price to its artists.
A lot more
than Spotify.
A lot more than that. Yeah. Way more.
Yeah, because also Spotify is done on like 100 streams count as one buy on iTunes.
I think it's 1,000.
Is it 1,000? Yeah. 1,000 streams count as one buy on iTunes for the charts.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
It's not ideal. But honestly, guys, all you listeners, go and check out Fred's music. Go and check out his Instagram, his TikTok. It's all Fred Ferrier.
Frederick Ferrier.
What's next for Frederick Ferrier?
Well, so after this particular song, I've got... So the deal I signed, I have to work with them some more, but that's great because they're a good label. I'm doing about 2 songs a week at the moment. I'm supposed to be going to Nashville to do some writing.
Sick. Come say hi.
Of course. I'm still going to do MIC. The thing is with MIC, you know, as a musician, a lot of people initially were just telling me, and this again goes back into hopefully something, someone will get something from this, is that I've spent the majority of my life listening to people tell me that, you know, oh yeah, don't do this because of this. And I've always had so many people like, oh, you shouldn't do the show because it's a bad look for your music, or you shouldn't do this. And ultimately, unless those people are going to do something for you, it's very easy just to shell out bad advice without actually backing it up with anything, just to be negative.
Totally.
So MIC is something that, you know, I've obviously done for a long time. Francis and I think we should talk about some fun stories from it later, but something I started doing, kind of fell into it. But now I really believe that the season I've recently done for me has been my favorite season, simply because I actually feel like I resemble myself, because I'm just far more sort of, I don't get involved in the dating on the show. I would find that just too chaotic and stressful, and it's something I like to keep private. But I've actually sort of formed some friendships there that were actually real. And as a result, I think that when I'm on camera, I actually come across as myself, because before I just wasn't like myself at all. So I do enjoy MIC, and I think that anyone that sort of, because you see that a lot with the show, right? You see people then kind of break away from it thinking that they're too good for it, and then only to come back.
What?
I'm waiting for Francis. Hi, Leonie. Sorry about that email. I deleted the voice note. I was drunk. Okay,
I'm totally with you.
But as in, like, you know, it's just it's a good thing to do. And like, ultimately, I kind of enjoy it. And, you know, as you said before, music is one of the most difficult and competitive industries.
Mm.
And even, for example, when I was speaking to Spinnin' Records, they've never seen an episode of Made in Chelsea, but they did know that I had a following. And that's why they were like, oh, cool. So maybe this is like an extra way we can market the record, you know?
And, you know, the following is how things work these days. It doesn't really matter how you get it. If you have a captive audience, people are interested because you can market things.
Yeah, I'm very grateful. I've got amazing, amazing fans that, you know, whenever I post songs, they always repost them and, you know, have got like set to do gigs and stuff, that I've actually sort of made a separate email database for people that have said, like, we want to come and hear you sing. And I wouldn't have that. So I'm very, very grateful for this giving me that sort of leg up.
No, dude, listen, you're going to kill it. I can't freaking wait to come to your gig and all that kind of stuff. Listen, team, that's all we've got time for today, because we're coming up to the 7 o'clock mark.
But we'll have to get you on again, Fred, I think.
Because also with us, we could also, all of us could speak for
oh my
hours.
God, I kind of feel like the story, as I said, like some of the stories that I was, because I had this classic thing I was thinking about, okay, because every single time people bump into Francis now, they talk about, they're like, oh, tell us a story about, like, you know, you at school, or like, I want to hear, you know, tell us, and I'm like, and then we're always like, I don't know, really, like, you know, what we and I was just trying to think of some fun ones, so yeah, we can
mate,
talk about
no
later.
But my favorite one that you did is when you played the salt game called Assault.
Still
my favorite, the pouring salt. We've spoken on the podcast where you poured salt in people's teas.
Francis was, as I said, at school was very, he didn't like, you didn't really care about making friends. And I remember this one thing that happened, like Francis used to do this thing, which was so annoying, which is when we had double economics on a Saturday, he used to tell everyone, like, he'd run and be like, guys, it's cancelled. And we'd be like, yeah, like that. And then we'd be like, oh, like thinking there's our morning gone. Like none of us had done any homework. And we were super psyched, only to see Mr. Thomas then go, evening, like morning, lads. And we're like, what? And then Francis would just think it was so funny. I'm like, that's just dark. Like, what is wrong with you?
Oh God! Hey, also, I just love the fact that you guys are still buddies. You know, I think having friends from the roots, I think it's just insane. I think it's such a good thing to have.
Francis and I have been through.
He's my oldest, most consistent friend.
We have been through so much together. That like good, bad, crazy, fun, awful.
Well,
horrendous.
Also, it's kind of nice to have someone who you come. You know, we were roommates at boarding school, and then we went through this whole crazy experience of doing, what we didn't know was going to then become this big show, right, when we first started it. And then all of the sort of chaos that surrounded it. I mean, I think it was kind of like, it was good, actually. It was helpful to have someone else there who
to get recognised with.
To get recognised with.
Hey, can you hold the camera? Because sure, mate. Don't worry about it.
Hey, listen, team. Fred, thanks, buddy, so much for coming on. You're complete rockstar. All you listeners, go and check out Fred's music. Go and check out his Instagram, his TikTok, Frederick Ferrier.
Send me a DM. I always try and reply to as many people as I can. I really appreciate that.
And also, Fred, always support you, dude, forever. So, honestly, the new song's going to be sick. And as soon as you get those number ones, we're coming with you all the way.
Then you'll be my good friend. All right, guys. Thank you so much, Jamie, Francis. Love you lots. And thanks to everyone on Private Parts. Thanks for listening.
Oh, mate, dude. All you lovely listeners, we'll see you on Friday for another episode.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.